the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Little roller up along first, behind the back, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Tuned into Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Game On!
Talking all things sports, it's
Game On!
Yeah, Game On!
Game On! Right here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in every single Friday night, usually from 6:30 or 6 tomorrow, whatever time we can get started here live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Josh Silverberg, tuning in every single week, trying to. My co-host, Eric Bowe, he is not here again this week. He is out. Some family business having to take care of. Crossing fingers, he will be back next week. I'm amazed I'm even here at this point, but I am. Unfortunately, last night, went to urgent care, tested, not COVID, but I have strep, so I've been dealing with that. I am downstairs away from everybody. It is great, so much fun, exciting. Not able to be in the studio. I'm in my studio at home, but I have my father with me, Nelson Silverberg, joining in, filling in. I've had Speedy 2 weeks ago, Errol last week, now Nelson this week. Dad, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the introduction. Thank you.
Of course. You know, I tried. Like I said, it's been a rough
few weeks. Trooper. You're a trooper, man. You're great.
You know, I mean, I've done this show when I've had, you know, you can ask, Errol's done the same thing. I had COVID. I did the show. I had strep. I did the show. I don't miss it. Unless it's like an emergency. The only time I really, really missed the show was when I had that bad stomach virus about a month ago.
That would have been the best show. That would have been a great show. Oh, we should have done it then. That would have been a great show.
I think Speedy remembers. I think I told the show was to be here at 6:30. I think I texted Speedy at 6:15, 6:20. I said, no show tonight. I'm not going to be able to make it through. No way. So it stinks, but my voice is a little different. But I'm here. Like I said, we're going to try to make everything work. A lot to get to, of course. This is a Super Bowl filled show. We're gonna do position by position breakdowns. What I also want to get to is I want to talk about in our lifetime. So my dad goes back further, and I didn't tell him this. That's why we're gonna do this the second half. His top three best Super Bowls he ever saw, watched, and everything like that. Because I want to get his take and his input on it, and I'll give my three. I think something like that is always fun, like doing, I would even say maybe a top five list. We'll do that towards the end of the show. We're getting to some prop bets. DraftKings is doing Taylor Swift bets with all the names of her songs as names for the bets. We'll get to that. A little NBA trade deadline. The Knicks, winners of the deadline. Are they legitimate NBA finals contenders after making these deals? So we'll talk about that. But of course, and maybe we'll touch on, my dad won't, he didn't see it, but we'll touch a little bit on the WWE last night and the whole flip-flop WrestleMania, The Rock, who is now in charge of the WWE, slapping Cody Rhodes at the press conference yesterday and basically turning heel last night and now being on the side of Roman Reigns, and it's weird, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But of course, Super Bowl, what number is this, Speedy?
58.
Thank you, sir. And of course, BDP here on the board. 58. A rematch from 4 years ago. The San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I believe as of today, if I'm not mistaken, let me see really quick. I believe the 49ers are favored. They're favored by 2. So the line was, it was at 4 when 2 weeks ago when it started. Flipped. was the 2.5 last night. It dropped to 2 today. So people are putting money on the Chiefs. They like the Chiefs right now. They're clearly going with the Mahomes factor. And the 49ers have been a little iffy in these playoff games. They haven't looked perfect, per se. The Packers easily, and I think, should have won that game. Lost it at the end. Jordan Love with the 2 interceptions in the fourth quarter. Now, my father's a Packer fan. He's going to say that it was such a Packer playoff way to lose because the Packers always have the worst playoff losses. Go back to the Seattle one. The Packers easily should have won that game. Then Detroit should have won the game. Dan Campbell, and I did the whole thing with Arrow last week, with the whole thing with Campbell. I understand he went for it. He's gone for it all season. That's fine. There was a time and a place to do something like that. That was not the time nor the place to do it. You're up 3 scores. You have all the momentum. You're on the road. You have them on the ropes. Their momentum was shot, San Francisco. They were down in the dumps. Reynolds drops that ball. And by the way, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, I thought Josh Reynolds, I said it before that game, Josh Reynolds was going to be an X factor in that game for Detroit. He had a very good season all year, and he misplayed and he dropped the ball.
He dropped that 2 balls.
Gibbs fumbles it, something that never happens either. It was just a weird sequence. Like, Reynolds never drops passes, Gibbs never fumbles, and everything just snowballed right in their face to the point of, and again, I hate to bring it back to, with my team hasn't been anywhere recently, but I look back in 2010 when the Jets played the Colts. They were up by 8. They had a chance to go up by another touchdown, and it was at 4th and goal, and Rex did not go for it. He was too scared to go for it. That was a game I said you should go for it because it was the end of the half, and you're playing Peyton Manning. He didn't go for it. He kicked the field goal, called a penalty on the Jets, did another field goal, called a second penalty on the Jets. 3rd field goal try, they missed it, and then the 11-point lead completely gone. The Jets lost in the second half, and they lost the AFC Championship game, and that's what momentum will do to you. And it will do it to an inexperienced team. That's where the 49ers are. They haven't played a perfect game. And then you have the opposite end of the Kansas City Chiefs, who dominated Miami. And I don't want to hear excuses from Evan about they had all these guys hurt and everything like that. Listen, you also had a 5-game lead in the division during the year, and you lost it. So
Miami was a dead team going into that playoff.
No, they weren't. No,
let's not count that game at all. That game was just
Miami didn't even deserve to be there. They're a dead team.
No, they walked in 3-game losing streak. They lost to Buffalo.
And the game that blew it, and I always say, so we're not talking about Dolphins here, but I'll say it, the game that lost in the division was the Titans game. They're up by 13 with 3 minutes to go at home on Monday Night Football, and they lost.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, Miami, by the time the playoffs came around, they were a dead team. They were a good team, but by the time, for whatever reason...
Well, Evan's thought process is that
they were shot.
Evan thinks the Dolphins should get Justin Fields. He thinks that's an upgrade over Tua.
Justin Fields sucks. But we'll go on.
Well, we're going with that. But so we took out that the Chiefs dominate Miami. Then the questions start to happen about Kansas City. It's a matter of, he's never played a road game and all these. It really is crazy, right? Mahomes has been a starter since 2018. And he never once in the playoffs had a road game in his career. That's insane. That's why it's 5 years of playoffs. Not your first road game doesn't happen till your 5th year. That's crazy. And he goes into Buffalo, a team that this is their moment, right? Kansas City's always beating them, and it's always been in Kansas City. This is the moment. Buffalo has it. They're the better team. They have more depth. Everything is there for the Bills. They finally are the home team in this one. And when the Bills lost that game, when Bass, anybody blames Bass for missing that field goal, here's the other reality. Even if Bass kicked the field goal, there was still 2.5 minutes left in that game. Mahomes was driving down the field and they were going to win the game. It didn't matter. But, and I hate to say it, I look at the Buffalo Bills Chiefs situation as kind of like for years, the Knicks-Bulls situation. Where the Knicks and the Bulls would always play each other, and the Knicks could never beat Jordan.
That's right.
Jordan, what Mahomes is to the Bills is what Jordan was to the Knicks. And the 1 year Jordan did not play, the Knicks got to the finals. Yes. So it's an amazing when you think about it, you put the two and two together. So you put that, Then the championship game rolls around in Baltimore. And I actually, so it's funny, I picked Kansas City to beat Buffalo. I did not pick them to beat Baltimore. I really thought, I said, you know what? Lamar struggled in the first half against Houston. He had a very good second half. He's going to let this ride to the next game. It's going to help. It's going to be huge. Listen, people want to blame the referees for that Baltimore game. Ravens fans need to look at themselves in the mirror. Zay Flowers cost them that game. Lamar had a really bad game. And they basically were just so undisciplined. It was a very uncharacteristic Baltimore Ravens team. A John Harbaugh coach team. Kyle Van Noy, who's one of the more respected vets in the league, is doing personal fouls. That's when you know everything goes off the rails. Now, Baltimore could have easily won that game. Zay Flowers fumbles it. Lamar throws the interception in triple coverage to Isaiah Likely. Boom, the Chiefs are going on. So you're getting the Chiefs the Niners.
This is a team. Baltimore had the worst offensive game plan I have ever seen. You know what I mean? This Kansas City weakness is their run defense, and Baltimore's strength is their run game. And they didn't use, and still Baltimore almost won the game. Did Kansas City even score a point in the second half?
No, and that's the amazing thing, is that Baltimore held them scoreless. And again, they had the ball first and goal at the four. Flowers fumbles it. So that's one loss. And then the second loss, it was 17-10 at the time.
Right.
Lamar's got the ball at the 32-yard line with 7 minutes to go. And Isaiah Likely throws his hands up, and it's in triple coverage, and it's picked off.
And it was a blatant pass interference on that play, if you ever want to notice. You watch that play again, there was a blatant pass interference.
Yeah, there probably was. I mean, you're also adding to the personification of the referees fixing games for the Chiefs.
I'm just saying, if you watch the play, there was a blatant pay. He got laid out, the Ravens receiver.
And here's the thing, and it's so funny. People are saying this now, how the referees consistently are fixing the games for the Chiefs. One, I've been saying that for the last couple of years that the games are fixed for the Chiefs. Because they want Mahomes to be like Brady. That's what they want. Number two, and again, it's bringing up my former team. Go back to the Jet Sunday night game where Sauce Gardner picks off Mahomes and there was no flag. Gardner then picks off the ball, runs it for a yard, and then the referee throws the flag after.
So you're telling me
that's all you have.
The referees fixed the game for Kansas City to beat the mighty Jets.
No, the referees fixed the game for the Chiefs. No, the referees fixed the game for the Chiefs to win as many games as they possibly can.
I just don't think the Jets are the best example.
Because they don't – here's the thing. They don't want – they want Mahomes to be the clean-cut face of the league, because here's the thing. You look at Brady. Brady was that for a long time, but here's what goes into Brady's closet. The whole Deflategate stuff and all this stuff. This is all that's it. They want Mahomes to take over that role as to be the greatest quarterback in the history of this game. Because he's clean cut. He's a good guy. He doesn't cheat. He doesn't this is what they want. And
I think Brock Purdy is the cleanest cut guy.
I mean, until they said he looked like Lee Harvey Oswald. That was Yeah. And then it was, you know, I did say this on the show last Friday. Errol didn't like it. Errol can't stand Mahomes. I can't stand Mahomes either. I'm chiefed out. I'm sick of them. I'm tired of them. I'm already annoyed with them because I actually like Taylor Swift and her music. It's getting too much. I got prop bets named down after her songs. It's like enough already. But now it's getting to the point of, and I've said this, any quarterback you want in the history of the football or the league that you've watched, your life on the line, with your life on the line and you have to win this game, what quarterback would you want? I would take Patrick Mahomes. I would take Mahomes.
I mean, in history.
In my lifetime, there are
guys I have over Mahomes. You see, everybody has a very – your lifetime is not
– No, but let me ask you. Here's the thing. There's three quarterbacks. When they threw the football, when they threw it, they knew exactly where the ball was going, and I knew it was not going to be a turnover. Those three quarterbacks were Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. Those are the three quarterbacks that I've ever seen where I know the ball comes out of the hands, it's not going to be a turnover. Even Brady, I was skeptical with at times. That's okay. that's crazy thing. Like with Rodgers, when he was in his prime, didn't turn the ball over. Manning didn't turn the ball over. Mahomes, same thing. But the biggest thing about the Chiefs and what they do correct.
So I wouldn't pick any of those three.
That's fine. You probably pick Montana.
Yeah, I would pick Joe Montana.
See, Montana's fine. I would do Mahomes. Okay. And
but you've never – you see, the point is it's not fair, right?
No, I know that.
Wants to say this is the GOAT or he's the GOAT or this is the – the GOAT is the best player while they're playing generationally. Like, is – you know, like right now Mahomes is the best quarterback of his generation. It doesn't mean he's the GOAT. He's just the best quarterback of his generation.
Well, one guy that made a good point, and he's the only guy I listen to on sports talk radio. He's the only one I listen to, and he made a very great point. And he knows his history of sports, and that's Chris Russo. Chris Russo knows his history of football. Russo even said it, and I might botch the quote, but he said, I go back to the days of Starr, Unitas, Montana, Manning, Brady. He goes, my life on the line, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
So
they don't score a lot of points, you know. They don't put up a lot of points.
They don't, but you know what he does?
And they don't score points in the second half.
But you know what he does? Here's the thing. They didn't score any points in the second half. But you know what he did that was huge in that Baltimore game? He got them to where they need to get to run the clock out. He got the first downs when they needed them. That's the key point. When they need something from him in a two-minute offense, he gets it done. I mean, you have to remember, he had 15 seconds left to get them to field goal range 3 years ago against Buffalo. He had 15 seconds at their own 20, and he did it.
The game is not the same. There is a major rule change that benefits all these quarterbacks, and that is defensive backs cannot contact receivers after 5 yards. When Montana was playing, they could bump the receivers all the way downfield. So think about how different that is, that receivers are able to run free now after 5 yards. No, while in the old days, you could bump receivers all the way. I mean, it's like comparing guys in basketball after the three-point shot to before the three-point shot. I mean, it's just not the same game anymore. I mean, football, that one rule has made the game a totally different sport. I mean, that's why everybody's throwing for 4,000 yards now. I mean, you know, it's not even a number that means anything anymore.
No, and I agree with you, and that's fine. And that's a fair assessment to say that you bumping the rule changes are huge now, different, very much so. The equipment is different. Everything is different.
Yeah. I mean,
what I give Mahomes the credit for is he doesn't have anybody to throw the football to but a Travis Kelce. He doesn't have. Who's he got? Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, these guys are not.
Who does he have? Rice, Kadarius Toney. Who does he have?
But he's had in his career those guys.
He's only had one guy other than Kelce. He's only had one guy. It was Hill.
But does he raise the level of the receivers?
Yeah.
Like, does he make the receivers better? Besides Kelce, is any of the receivers better because he's the quarterback? And I'm saying no, they're all the same.
But I think in this playoffs, they're getting the job that they need to get done enough to the point of it's
making them
successful. That's the key. And that's why it's more of a credit to what he's doing. I mean, to go back-to-back weeks and beat Buffalo and Baltimore on the road is
– I'm not arguing.
I mean, and look, it's the defense is – I expect Nola should get another job opportunity at some point. I'm surprised he hasn't, and I feel like we're talking a lot about the Chiefs. It's not right.
That's what everybody does. Everybody, that's what I mean. Everybody's focus is on the Chiefs.
No, but the thing is, San Fran's the favorite, though. They're the favorite.
Yeah, but nobody believes. Everybody focuses on the Chiefs.
I think the playoff runs have shown. Kansas City beat Buffalo and Baltimore on the road. The Niners had a tough time against a team that barely got in Green Bay and a team that should it be in them in Detroit?
Let me ask you a question. All right, I'm going to say, did Kansas City have to face a running back as good as Aaron Jones in the playoffs?
I mean, you can kind of make the case. I don't know if he's as good, but you can make the case as Cook for Buffalo. James Cook is pretty good.
Yeah, but he's not close. A fresh Aaron Jones has been
right.
A fresh Aaron Jones is a much more is a better back. He's a better back.
Jones is a fresher. It's top five back, but Cook is a top ten back though.
Fine, but I'm just saying
it's not disparaging that he can't do it. Now Baltimore is. I mean, Baltimore has Gus Edwards and everything like that, but Gus Edwards is more used for their red zone.
But they don't. But they didn't run the ball, so it's meaningless, right? I mean, your backs are only good if you use them.
I mean, listen. They faced Mostert and they faced a Kane in the playoffs against Miami.
Okay.
So they're not as good, but it's not they didn't play nobody's.
Well, that's every team has
a great year this year.
Every team has a good running back. Some teams have much better running backs than other teams.
Speed just said Cook was a top three running back the second half of the season.
Okay. So Aaron Jones was who was a better running back the last 4 weeks of the season?
Anybody? You're going to say Aaron Jones?
He was the best running back the last month of the season.
But that wasn't what the concern was. That was not what the concern was. The concern is for the 49ers. You're just looking at the pass defense, too, has been atrocious. I mean, Love was killing them in the beginning of the game, too.
I'm not a big Ravens fan. I've never been a big Ravens fan. They self-destruct every year. They just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the quarterback or what. They just never play well in the playoffs. Buffalo is a very solid team. That was the game that I give Kansas City all the credit for, was that game.
Yeah, Mahomes went toe-to-toe with Allen.
Yeah,
we also bring up the Bass missed field goal. What about the hypocrite that's on that team that complains every week in Stephon Diggs, who dropped the ball on a 30-yard pass that would have been a 1st-and-10 at the Chiefs 28-yard line, and he dropped it with 7 minutes to go in the game, and that killed them.
Going into this, I mean, San Francisco's favorite, but I think people are underrating San Francisco's playoff opponents and overrating Kansas City's playoff opponents. I think because Detroit's never been there before, people go like, Detroit, they suck. They've always stunk. So it's Detroit. And they go like, Green Bay, they've never made the playoffs. So, you know, they're lucky just to be there. But the Aaron Jones Green Bay Packers this year were really good. They were like 6-2. You know what I'm saying? And the non-Aaron Jones team was not nearly as good.
I mean, again, they...
It's just the way I look at it.
The 49ers, my honest opinion, they easily should have lost both of these games.
Well, you can't say it. I mean, you got to give a team credit for... I mean, the Detroit team was fluky stuff.
The Green Bay won fine.
Yeah, he had a great drive.
I think that game was more Green Bay losing it than San Francisco winning it. Jordan Love self-destructed in that game. That cost them.
Well, the last drive, he threw an interception.
He threw two of them. The Detroit one, I got to give Purdy credit because he was scrambling out of the pocket. He was doing things on the run. He was taking hits after the play was over. He wasn't even sliding anymore. He was just taking the hits. So it was almost to the point of, you know, you almost, in my opinion, look at where Brock Purdy is. Now, Samuel's going to play. You would hope Debo's healthy now 100%, 2 weeks off. The biggest concern that I've had is, now Detroit's got one of the best offensive lines in football, and Green Bay's offensive line held up very well. The killer for San Francisco is that pass defense, because in this playoffs, Bosa and Hargreaves and Young and these guys have not doing anything. And this is one of the worst offensive lines they're playing this week.
Yeah, so
I'll give them a pass. That Detroit has the best offensive line in football.
Yeah, they played two really good offensive lines in the playoffs. Green Bay and Detroit both.
Green Bay's offensive line was starting to come up the way it should. But it's
solid.
They should dominate. Now, here's go back to the Super Bowl that Mahomes lost against Tampa, where the Bucs, now Brady had a great game. That Buccaneers pass, that Buccaneers rushing defense was elite that game. I mean, Mahomes had no time to throw the football. So that was, and then in the offseason, they then go and they signed Joe Thuney, and then they draft Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma. They have an entire, and then they traded for Orlando Brown. So they go out there and they do an entire facelift of the offensive line, and they won a Super Bowl the next year. With Kansas City's offensive line, it's interesting because Baltimore's got a pretty good pass rush. They didn't get to him. Buffalo's got a very good pass rush. They didn't get to him. This is the best pass rush team they're going to get.
You sound like you like San Francisco.
I want San Francisco to win. I'm rooting for San Francisco.
Don't do that. Just pick your game. Don't play that game. Don't do that.
I've been back and forth all week because I really do want to see Purdy win. I really do. I'm tired of him getting the mantra of game manager. I'm tired of it.
Let's go up through it. Then it's easy. I think San Francisco has a much better offense than Kansas City. They got better running backs, better receivers, better offensive line.
Here's the thing. I picked Miami to beat Kansas City. That was a flop. I picked Baltimore to beat Kansas City. That was a flop. So, I mean, is third time the charm? I'm going to go with the 49ers in this one. I am going to pick them.
There you go.
Back and forth for 2 weeks on it. I don't know. I've talked to you about it. I've talked to Errol about it. I talked to my buddy Matt about it. I talked to Eric about it. I don't know. And I keep saying to myself, gosh, how many times am I going to pick against Patrick Mahomes where it's like enough already? But I really do think the X factor for me in this game, and remember, Joe Thuney is not playing Sunday. That's a huge loss for them. The X factor for me in this game is this. It's not even the 49ers offense. It's the pass rushing defense. If that team could get to Mahomes, they're not going to give up anything. Now, just remember, though, Andy Reid teams don't make mistakes. They don't make mistakes. That's also why Kansas City's here, because of the way they're coached.
Yeah, they're great coaches. So you don't think Shanahan's a great coach team. I think the truth is, give these two coaches 2 weeks to prep for a game against a known opponent, and both these teams are going to have very solid game plans. The thing to me that makes a difference in this game, and I said it earlier, this is going to be a total time of possession game. And I think San Francisco with McCaffrey is going to control the ball. I think Purdy's going to throw the ball a lot fewer times than people think. I think McCaffrey's going to be a workhorse. I think they're looking for 7-minute drives, and I think they're just going to try to do these long drives, keep the ball out of Kansas City's hands.
You just got to make sure the Niners' offensive line is good against this Chiefs pass rush, because it's good.
Yeah, but they're not good against the run. They're not good against the run.
No, but Purdy's got to get the ball out quick.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to play. They're going to play run-pass out. Look, you can't rush the passer if McCaffrey's gaining 5 yards every carry. I mean, you got it, because you're going to have to respect the play action pass. You're going to have to respect it, and that's going to slow all the linebackers down. It's going to slow the defensive ends down. It's going to freeze everybody for a second, and that's what he's going to do. Plus, they got better deep receivers.
Am I trusting Shanahan to win a big game, though?
Why not? I mean, this
hasn't done it yet.
I know you had that Atlanta Super Bowl, but he wasn't the coach.
Atlanta won. The 49er, the 49er was not totally on his fault. Salah coached the defense, but also Garoppolo missed, Speedy remembers the receiver that, he was trying to throw the ball to Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah.
He overshot him. That would have won them the game. He was wide open too. So, I'll go San Fran, and Super Bowl MVP for me,
early.
I'm debating between Purdy and McCaffrey, one of the two. I think it's going to be Oh, man. It's so hard because, like you said, they're going to run the ball so much, and McCaffrey does a ton. But I trust Purdy as well now. I feel like Purdy has confidence. Yeah. Purdy's got a chip on his shoulder for this game.
Debo Samuels, they better be good. They better be on their toes tackling because Debo Samuels is back healthy. This is a tough team.
Mitchell, the second running back for San Francisco. I'm going to give it to Purdy. I think Brock Purdy will win the MVP. Good for him, and I'm happy for him. I am.
Okay. But
listen, this is it. They have to win the Super Bowl, San Francisco. They have to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they should win the Super Bowl. They should win this game.
They've gone here how many times in the last five or six years?
And their window's closing.
Every time. The window's closing. They've gone here for what? The last 5 or 6 years, they've lost championship games, Super Bowls.
Yeah.
It's time. If they don't do it this year, I don't know when they're going to do it or if they will.
I like San Francisco's defense because they play a zone defense. And Kelsey... he read schemes. He's very close to what's the name did on the Patriots when he ran patterns. They would do soft picks. They would do soft pick plays, and that would be how, you know, guys like Kelsey gets open. They do soft picks like they crisscross and, you know, the other receiver would just nudge the defensive back. So on man, it's very easy to do that. But on zone defense, it's a little more difficult. So I think San Francisco playing zone. I mean, Kansas City is going to move the ball. They're going to have their games. They're going to score points. But I just don't think they're going to get the ball enough times.
So you're going San Francisco. Got it.
I'm going San Francisco.
And the MVP is?
And I like McCaffrey, and I love the under.
Okay.
47.5. It's going under this year.
Okay. All right, well, let's, Speedy, we're going to take a quick, we'll do one quick commercial. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of historic Super Bowls. We'll do our top two or three. We'll pick two or three of them. Which ones were the best ones you ever saw? We'll do a little position by position breakdown for this game. And then we'll do a little NBA trade deadline action. I know my dad was extremely happy with the Knicks and what they did. And why the New York Knicks are legit title contenders. When everybody gets back healthy. Don't go away. We'll be right back here on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It is the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
Game on!
Game on!
We're back!
The juice is gone!
You're listening to Game On with Josh Silverberg and Eric Bowe.
Yes, listen, we are back live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network. Of course, myself, Josh Silverberg, my dad, Nelson Silver, joining me this week for our Super Bowl special show. Next Friday, we'll be back on. Oh, I can't wait as a teacher. I'm off for the next week after that. It is so needed with all these stuff going around and this everything like that's horrible. But let's get into it. Let's do a little position by position breakdown. We'll go quickly with some of them. Quarterback, obviously, you go Mahomes over Purdy. McCaffrey over Pacheco, the receivers. I would say the only one that's probably tight is probably the tight end position, Kittle or Kelsey. That would be the tight one.
Yeah, it's tight, but you're fine. It could go either way. Believe me, if either one of them could catch 8 passes this game.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kittle a little bit more because he's younger, and two, he does. You know,
more dynamic.
More dynamic. You can spread him out more. So much more you could do with him. As far as the defense goes, I would say it's weird.
It's a push.
It's a push because the defensive pass rushes, it should be San Francisco because they have the bigger names on it. But the Chiefs have had more pressure this year on the passer than the Niners have, which is why I think Nick Bosa needs to have a breakout game. I believe the Chiefs statistically have a better defense than the Niners do this year, but we'll see in this game. I don't know. You said it's a push.
We'll see.
You know, so
if you win the toss, do you take the ball? If you're San Francisco, what do you do? What do you think they do?
I'm trying to think. Who took it when they won the toss 2 weeks ago? Green Bay.
Green Bay always takes it. Yeah, Green Bay
took
take
the ball
it,
first, and they went down the field and they scored.
Shanahan teams, they really run teams. They really are run-heavy teams, Shanahan teams.
Wait, just don't let Jair Alexander decide what you're going to do.
Yeah, I won't let him choose.
He doesn't know what the rule is, so just make sure you don't let him decide on that one. But
that's very true.
But we're going to do a little fun thing right now. We'll go through some Super Bowls in our lifetime. Obviously, my father's seen a lot more.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and I have done, and everything like that. I would probably have to say, very quickly for me, one, and these are not one is the best and the worst. These are just my three. I would say the Giants beating the Patriots in that undefeated season. Only reason, and the game wasn't that great, but what made it crazy was the catch by David Tyree, and just the historical balance of what that whole the game meant historic wise. I mean, that record should have been broken. I mean, the Patriots had twice as much talent as the Giants did and everything like that. So I would say that one was a good one. Snug said Steelers Cardinals. I was gonna say Saints Colts was a good one, especially at the beginning, I believe, of the second half when they did an onside kick, the Saints, and they recovered the ball. It was their first ever Super Bowl that they won, and they beat Peyton Manning, and they did all that, and it was crazy. I really don't want to say New England-Atlanta because I can't stand New England. You almost have to put that on there because of the historical comeback that they did. I mean, it was insane how
it destroyed it. Actually destroyed an organization.
I mean, it was Arthur Blank still hasn't recovered. He's hiring Raheem Morris as his head coach, not the guy that beat him in the Super Bowl. He's hiring Raheem Morris as the head coach. So, I mean, that is another – I mean, you could go, like I said, Steelers, Cardinals, Green Bay, Pittsburgh was a good one.
Yeah, Green Bay,
the one
Pittsburgh.
I like that one. Philly, New England was a good one. Cincinnati.
You're forgetting the best one.
Seattle, New England.
Seattle, New England was the best Super Bowl.
Seattle, New England was a good one. I still don't even understand how Pete Carroll said, let's throw it when he had the best running back in football at the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
I mean, all you had to do is watch that video and just watch Richard Sherman's reaction. And Richard Sherman is just like, what the? I mean, that was just it was crazy. But there's just so many of them that you can, from what I remember, like I said, Philly, New England.
What about
was
the Jets,
one.
Josh? I don't remember the Jets same Super
yeah,
Bowl.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, right. Back-to-back years, New England won. They were both very close games. The Philly-New England one and the Philly-Carolina one with DeLome, when DeLome was the quarterback. Those are very close games and everything like that. So those are – there's been a few of them. Even, like I said, Rams-Patriots.
Rams-Patriots. It's amazing. You know, people don't realize how many – games the Patriots could have lost.
Oh, 100%.
That they got wins on.
Yep.
You know,
the Atlanta game they should have lost. The Rams game they should have lost.
The Seattle.
The Seattle game they should have lost. The Atlanta game. The only reason why they beat the Rams the second time around was because McVay got completely pantsed by Belichick in the 14-3 game. That was abysmal. When Jared Goff was the quarterback of the Rams, I mean, that was awful. That was when the Rams were like, yeah, we're going to get rid of Goff now. He got us here, but we're going to get rid of him.
So. Did you mention the Bills-Giants with the missed field goal?
I wasn't around for that.
Were you around for that? Yeah. Well, it was a really good game. You should have been there.
You could also, another good one, underrated one, Rams-Titans. The running back, I remember who it was. He was stopped at the 4 yard line.
Yeah,
that would have won them the game for the Titans. He was stopped at the 4 yard line.
He was never going to score. I mean, it was close.
I know.
Like they had that guy wrapped up. Yep.
Yeah, you could even like I said, even the Nick Foles Super Bowl where Nick Foles beat New England, which was crazy. That's what everybody said. If Nick Foles can win a Super Bowl, anybody can win a Super Bowl. Well, that's not the case. So,
but they were wrong. That's when the Jets drafted Zach Wilson. You see, it proved us wrong.
Listen, it is what it is. What are you going to do? Listen, but what were the – I mean, I know you have a lot more than I do.
First game I remember ever watching was the Packers-Raiders Super Bowl, which was number 2. And I remember just watching it, and like, and the Packers just blew them out. Back then they were, and I remember just running in. My father wasn't even interested. I mean, the Super Bowl wasn't even a big deal back then. But I remember saying, "Oh my God, they scored again!" My father said, "Yeah, who cares? You know, it was whatever." But it was just, that's when I became a Packer fan. And the I was going to mention the Pittsburgh one, Green Bay Pittsburgh one, because I went with your brother to the city, and we were supposed to go to a bar called Kettle of Fish, which is like the Green Bay Packers bar.
I think you went with Mom instead.
Yeah, I went with Mom one time during the playoffs, and then we went with Evan and Andrew for the Super Bowl, but we couldn't get in Kettle of Fish, so they got everybody to go to the bar next door, and the bar next door was the Stonewall. Now, if you don't know what the Stonewall is like the gayest bar in all of Manhattan. It's like a gay bar, and it's like... So it was like, it was a real interesting crowd. You had all these Super Bowl fans, and there were tons of them because they all piled in that bar. And you had all like the gay people there too, like the bartenders and stuff like that. So it made for an interesting game.
Let me tell you, that was, man, I remember when I was younger, you said to me, if the Jets ever played the Packers in the Super Bowl, I'll take
it. That was close.
And then I asked you again. I said, you know, we're one game away from this happening again. Then you said to me, I was never really going to take you. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I never thought it could happen.
It was very close.
It was close.
We almost had it.
You threw that interception.
No, it was.
The screen pass.
No, it was. They were down 24-3 at the half, the Jets. Made it 24-19. Green Bay already beat them earlier in the day, Chicago.
Right.
That was when Cutler quit on the team. The 24-3 then became 24-19, but the problem was they had the ball the Jets for like 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't freaking score, and it was crazy. So much time, but then they got a safety on the next play, and then they score a touchdown later on, 24-19. They have it 3rd and 8 at the Pittsburgh 46-yard line. And freaking Roethlisberger just rolls out, and the ball literally hits the tips of Calvin Pace's fingers. And it goes right into, I think it was Heath Miller's hands. And that was the game. And that was the game. Absolutely. That one, it's so funny. That one hurt more than the Indy one. Because the Indy one, people always ask me this, which one hurt more? That's how sad it is. Because it was back-to-back years this happened, which is horrible. The Indian one, I had a vibe it was ending, because once Anthony Gonzalez caught the 70-yard touchdown and the 11-point lead came like a 4-point lead, I said it's over. I said, not win this game.
You know what's fascinating? Isn't it interesting that Mike McCarthy gets slammed every year for this, and Harbaugh gets no criticism at all? Like, they're basically the same coach. You know, and if anything, McCarthy's brought teams much closer. I mean, he's lost heartbreakers and stuff like that. Harbaugh just, teams play terrible.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's, you know, he did win a Super Bowl. They almost,
McCarthy.
They almost blew that one.
I mean, Harbaugh's just
not a
great coach.
But again, that Super Bowl was extremely fixed. Because Baltimore was cruising to a blowout, and then all of a sudden the power in the Superdome goes out, and everybody's just like, what are we doing? What the heck? And then the power comes back on. It's a 45-minute delay. 45-minute delay. We come back on. Also, the 49ers are leading the game. And we're like, what are we doing?
To me, we should do this. The fixest Super Bowls in history. Instead of our favorites, we should just do the fixest.
Oh, my God. Go.
Pittsburgh, Seattle.
Go to last year.
That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Go to Pittsburgh, Seattle. When, oh, my God.
The pass interference calls, the crazy pass interference calls.
Go to last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they call that on Bradbury. And it was basically, that was an up-in-the-air call. And if it's an up-in-the-air call in the Super Bowl with the game on the line, you can't call that.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy.
You know, it's like, I'm looking back at that, and I go, what? It made no sense. It was just last year's was. I was watching that game. I said, "You got to be kidding me."
That's a topic for next Friday's show, Josh. After this Super Bowl, when everybody says it's fixed,
biggest rigged. Why? Because the Chiefs are going to get it rigged for them. Probably.
You should just go like. Eventually, there's going to be the call, Next Friday, the topic should be name your top five fixed Super Bowls.
Oh, it's I'm trying to remember which ones that have been. I mean,
I mean, because nobody, you know why nobody remembers? Because it's all accepted. Everybody just
accepted it. Now nobody accepts it anymore.
Everybody just goes, yeah, it's fixed.
No, nobody accepts it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different now. But really quick, before we go, let's get to a little bit of the NBA trade deadline. Everything happened. You know, I had a good. The New York Knicks, I would say, are the winners of the trade deadline.
Oh, definitely.
Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks coming back. Yeah. Burks' second stint. Bogdanović, 20.5-point scorer a game. Yeah. Going to the Knicks at a trade for Quentin Grimes. Ryan Iheanacho. I'm trying to think of all the
It doesn't matter.
Flynn, who they just got from Toronto.
Just Quentin a bunch Grimes, of guys.
And 2 seconds. Evan Fournier and 2 second-round picks going to the Detroit Pistons. So the Knicks get OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, Bojan Bogdanović, and Alec Burks, and don't trade a single first-round draft pick.
This last trade, they only trade one rotation player. I mean, they didn't even trade a rotation. Not only didn't they trade a first-round pick, they didn't even trade a player that's in their rotation, except for Grimes.
No, and it's interesting because when you look at it, everybody was trying to figure out. So my thinking was, I thought DeJounte Murray would be a good fit, two-way player. Breaking news. Amazon Prime Video to air NFL playoff games next season with a deal expected to surpass $110 million. It's all going streaming now.
Awesome.
Get your streams. It happened on Peacock this year. But you look at where – and you know, they lose Emmanuel quickly. Like, R.J. Barrett, you're fine with him being gone. He's doing well in Toronto. He's home in Canada. Clearly, he fits there better. I thought he was an anchor for this offense. You're clearly seeing it. Quickly was the tough one to swallow because
he's a six-man of the year candidate,
dynamic player, shoots the ball really well, great passer,
drives to the basket.
IQ is so smart, no pun intended with his name.
Yeah, he's great.
But he does have great IQ. So you have to figure, if you're Leon Rose, you're thinking, okay, so I don't have Quickly anymore. How can I recreate having a guy like Quickly? And I said to myself in the beginning, maybe if you get DeJounte Murray, you put Murray at the two, you move DiVincenzo to the six spot, he becomes the Quickly role guy. Instead, what Leon Rose then did was he got Bogdanović, who's a scorer, and he got Burks, who can play defense. And it could be a pretty good scorer, too. But they both shoot really good three-pointers.
Yeah, they're first and second.
So it's almost like this trade, these two players kind of intertwine with each other and make it look like an Emmanuel Quickly replacement.
Better than a Quickly replacement.
Well, DiVincenzo's still going to start.
With anybody. What?
DiVincenzo's still going to start. You can't bench him.
Yeah, you could start DiVincenzo if you want. You could bring him off the bench. I mean, you could do anything. You can do anything with this team right now.
I mean, I look at it like this, and also don't forget the Knicks now have two spots where they can offer the minimum players, veteran minimum, to sign. Two guys that I look at, and I love Miles McBride. I love Deuce McBride. I think he's a really good player.
He's out of the loop right now.
The problem with just now he's not because he can play the point guard. Burks is more of a shooter.
Yeah, but the problem with
Deuce, not a great passer. He plays more of a two spot than a one
spot. Yeah, he's better off the ball. He's not really a point guard.
And that's why the guy that I thought, and he's on waivers right now. Well, there's two guys, and I'll give you the third guy in a second. One guy that I really love, that he fits the system like a glove, plays great defense, really good ball handler, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry would be a really
good. Did they actually waive him?
He's not on trial anymore. He's on waivers. Okay. The other one, I am extremely surprised they're not interested in him. Very surprised. Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie is a guy that I look at. I say, that's the guy. That is he's played in New York. He's a great ball handler, really good passer, can run the offense, thrives on the run, does great pick and rolls. You saw him in
Brooklyn. He don't want to come here because he's not going to get minutes. He's just not going to be
He's not going to get it if he goes to Dallas either. Dallas is the favorite to get him. He's not going to get from Dallas. He's going to play behind Kyrie. He's not going to play.
I don't know why he'd want to play in Dallas. But yeah.
I think Kyle Lowry would be.
Yeah, Lowry is a good get.
And then the third guy that I really do like, because you could put him at the four spot, you could put him at the three spot, is you're bringing him home as well. He just got waived today. And from what I'm hearing is that the Knicks are interested in him. What I heard from Alan Hahn today, that the Knicks are interested in him, is Danilo Gallinari. And Danilo Gallinari would be an interesting get, because the thing about Gallinari is he's got size.
Yeah, they could use a backup.
Bottom shotter.
Big.
Big. Yeah, huge on the interior. He could play the two. He could play the three. He could play the four.
Yeah.
He's somebody definitely. That I think when you look at, I think could really – I don't know how much Tibbs will love him because of his defensive ability. But the thing of it is that here's what – the thing. But Donovich doesn't really play much defense. You're not going to put them both on the floor together. What I would then do is when Hartenstein comes back, what you'll then do is you'll put like Hartenstein on the floor with Gallinari, and then you could put like a Chua or Hart on the floor with Bogdanovich. Like, you're not going to put them both on the floor together. And everybody says, this is crazy. That's too many people in the rotation. You're not going to look what happened to them yesterday with seven players. One of them got hurt because he played too much.
Robertson, that's a huge get. I mean, defensively, he's a monster.
Well, Ananobi, I said get the surgery because I looked at the bone spur surgery. It literally is a minor surgery. And it even said the recovery time is 2 to 3 weeks. Boom. Woj posted. Surgery, he'll be back in 3 weeks. I said, great, perfect. He'll be back in March. Awesome. Randall has ramped up his recovery as well. He was at a high school basketball game in the city the other night next to Carmelo Anthony sitting next to him. And if you notice two things, which I don't think anybody realized it. One, he had no sling or anything on his shoulder or arm or anything. Nothing. And number two, he had a bag. He had over that shoulder. So clearly,
yeah, they were a very tough team.
He is a guy that is not going to want to miss this.
I don't know if
he will be back. Robinson's already doing on court stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how they guard this. I don't know how anybody covers this team.
I think there's
they
only
just have
one
a ton of shooters.
I would say there's maybe two teams in the league that can match them.
The Celtics, the only team I can see.
I would say maybe the Clippers because of Kawhi and
they can't
George
play defense.
And those guys.
Yeah, but they can't play defense. They can't defend a team this.
Well, the thing
of
it is, and this is why Boston's going to have a problem. Boston's going to have a problem because when they play, I'm not saying the Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't see another team in the East beating them.
I think they should go to the Eastern Conference
Finals. I don't
see
another team in them. This is the best depth team. I mean, this is now a 9 to 10 man rotation now. This is now 10 guys in the rotation.
They got like five guys on the team that shoots 40% from three.
And they all play defense.
They all play defense. You got one of the best inside scorers with Randall. As long as he does what he does so well,
and honestly,
he's great at
it. Guy you got to give credit to, and they didn't win last night. Josh Hart, his scoring has gone
down.
Way better than Josh Hart.
Win. He's having
Josh
a tough
Hart
shooting year, Josh
in.
Hart. He's
know,
having a very tough shooting year. Yep.
He's done a very good job these last couple of games.
But he plays tough.
DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo's
a monster.
I mean, and here's the thing. They have the defense. DiVincenzo, two-way player. Hartenstein. And then all of a sudden, OG plays really good defense. And then you have Achua who's doing what he's doing. And now they got Bogdanovich who could score. Burks is a two-way player.
Let me think about it. If they got a guy like Gallinari.
The best player is Brunson. And then, if you had a Lowry and a Brunson, Lowry and a Gallinari,
Gallinari, you could sit Randall down for like 15 minutes at a stretch. And just, shoot from the outside like crazy.
And it's crazy because we keep saying it too. I love McBride. McBride has improved his game as well.
Yeah, he's shooting really well.
But he's playing great defense. He was supposed to be a first-round pick. He was supposed to be a first-round pick, but he was too small. So he went in the second round, plays great defense. He's shooting really well. He might be on the outs.
This is a team. This is a Tibbs team. I mean, this team is – they muck it.
I think this team is actually better. I think this team is actually better than those times when he had the Bulls for the one seed with Derrick Rose on it. I think this team is deeper than those teams.
Yeah, I think this is an incredibly
deep team. And then if you play a team like Boston, right, because you look at it, right, you play Milwaukee, you're going to have OG on Giannis. You'll have, obviously...
Robertson on Giannis.
You have Robertson. You could have DiVincenzo on Lillard, and then...
They don't play D. Milwaukee doesn't even play defense.
That's what I'm saying. You could have that, you know? And then, in regards to the Celtics, just have OG. Just have OG on Tatum. And then you have DiVincenzo on Brown.
Yeah, Tatum's great.
And now you have an opportunity for... And then where's the interior going to come from? Horford's not going to beat Robinson. Right. So
that's what I'm saying. Robinson's a huge get. Tatum's a funny player. His heart. Tatum has very little heart. You could see if he gets frustrated.
Well, I trust Tibbs over...
Oh, yeah.
I trust Tibbs over what's his name?
Coach of Boston. I understand, right?
Yeah, I don't like him. He stinks. He's not good. But I know we're over the limit. Let's do a quick you're better than that. Of course, we'll do that, which, of course, we discussed a topic that was not discussed about that maybe bothered us. My first topic is the WWE, and that is in regards to The Rock being part of now the new ownership of the company. So basically, The Rock put himself in the main event of WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, and everybody, including myself, did not want to see that because as Cody Rhodes said it best during the press conference yesterday, I don't know why you, because Roman Reigns only wrestles 5 times a year as well. Cody said, I don't know why you two are main eventing WrestleMania. Neither one of you have done anything the last 2 years anyway. So that was a nice little shot. And then The Rock slapped Cody Rhodes, essentially making him a bad guy. Anybody see that? Everybody had that on their bingo card? I don't think so. So now we have 57 more days till WrestleMania, and honestly, this is the most intrigued I am because they have to get this right. Because it's not like they're in Minnesota or California or Texas or something like that. WrestleMania's in Philadelphia this year. Those fans will kill them.
Let me ask you a question. They used to bring contract guys in, like really big names in for contract WrestleMania matches. Like, what's his name? The big monster guy. Brock Lesnar used to come in all the time.
Oh, won't see Brock for a while after this whole.
No, but I'm just saying he'd be a short termer. But he was never in the main event. Like he'd be.
No,
like
he was always the main event at Mania. He main event the WrestleMania.
Wasn't he
was
like the second? But wasn't he in this like second big event? And he'd be like the loser, you know, because I don't understand how The Rock comes in.
They had Brock. Well, first of all, they had Brock and The Undertaker streak, which now I'm kind of wondering if they're actually going to keep that now because I think they want to erase Brock. They're erasing Vince from history. So I'm wondering if they're going to erase Brock from history now, too. They might actually do that.
These are all dirtbags, most of these guys. Let's be honest.
That's number one. They had Brock main event 31. They had Brock main event 33. They had Brock main event.
Was that when he was a short-term guy?
Oh, yeah. He's been a short-term guy forever. He's never been long-term with them.
Okay.
Never.
Because I just don't understand how you let this guy win, how you let The Rock win.
They were gonna let Roman win because they want Roman to get ahead of Hulk Hogan's championship race. They want Roman to get ahead. I think the goal, so he would get past Hulk. I think second on the list would be Bob Backlund. And then third would be Bruno Sammartino.
I mean,
he's got a ways to go before Bruno Sammartino. Bruno Sammartino held the title for like 5 years.
I know.
But then again, Roman only wrestles 5 times a year. So he might do it. But now it's, you know, the biggest thing is Oh, that's good. My bracelet just broke. The biggest thing is when you look at how it's so funny because Cody walked out of the ring. Brock, Rock came in. They hugged each other. It was going to be Rock Roman. That was the big thing. And then the fan backlash happened. How could you do this? Cody came back to this company after he started AEW. How would you let this happen? This is ridiculous. And you're letting this guy come into the company now to come back and do this. Everything of that nature. I thought it was so funny was that yesterday, like, it was like they're doing this conference. I'm watching it. They're doing this conference. And CM Punk's, like, hosting because he's not in Mania this year because of his arm. So he's, like, doing it. And The Rock's still on the stage. And you hear Punk's mic. And CM Punk actually hates The Rock in real life. It's the funniest thing. And he goes, I don't know about you, but that's Cody's boss. And if my boss slapped me in the face, I'd slap him in the face. Anybody else want to see Rock get slapped in the face? And The Rock just, like, staring at him like an asshole. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, he's not wrong because, you know, that is kind of abuse of power. So, but, yeah, I just think it's interesting. It felt like the fan backlash kind of did a swerve on this. Now, yeah. The question is, and remember, Mania is two nights. It's not one night anymore. Are they going to make Roman wrestle two nights? Are they going to... is Roman going to wrestle a tag match one night? Is he going to wrestle the next night? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is Seth Rollins involved now? Because he was getting into it with them. No, I think what they'll probably do is, I think night one, they'll probably do a tag match with them. And, like, they'll do, like, honestly, what I think would be kind of cool is night one, you do, like, Rock and Roman. And Cody and Roman are a huge rivalry. And have, like, Cody and, like, Stone Cold be, like, Cody's tag team partner. And just have, like, Rock's biggest rival be Cody's partner. And just, like, do that for night one. I think that would be kind of cool, right? Like, you could have Stone Cold and Cody versus Rock and Roman. And it doesn't have to be the main event. It could be, like, in the middle of the card for night one.
Yeah, like a quick
one. And then night two, you can have Cody and Roman. And Cody wins, and it ends everything.
Okay.
So, I mean, look, it's another veteran taking the spot, but if Stone Cold was running the company, Stone Cold, I don't think, would do what The Rock did, which is kind of, you think about it, it's kind of abuse of power coming in here and taking
the spot. Well, it is. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it is. It's nobody. I mean, I was pissed about it. I said, this is bull. I said, what the freak is this? I said, why? I said, this guy, I don't understand. I said, we've been following this story for 3 years. You know what I'm saying? Well, Mom brought up Sting. Sting's actual retirement match is, it's in March. They're doing it in Greensboro, North Carolina.
We should go.
Well, I asked me to go. It was, first off, it's so expensive. Sting actually just won the tag team championships.
It's expensive, and it's in Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yeah, it's like $300.
How much could it cost to go to anything in Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yeah, it's like $300 ticket just to get in. And here's the thing. People say, oh, these wrestlers always come back. They always come back. They always come back. I think Sting is like,
yeah, people who live in,
good. It's like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't need this anymore. I'm good.
People who live in Greensboro, North Carolina.
No, I think it's people from all over the country because it's Sting's last match. Or what is bringing them? They did it in Greensboro because that was where Sting beat Ric Flair for the heavyweight championship.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's why Tony Khan. So the original goal was to have the show in Minnesota, and then when Sting told Khan he's retiring, I'm done. I want out. They moved it to Greensboro. Because it was Sting's last night. People say that people come back. I think Sting is legitimately like, I'm good.
You think he's really done?
I think he's good.
Well, he's pretty old. He's probably like a 70.
He's jumping off 40-foot balconies. He's jumping on people. I mean, it's out of his mind. This is crazy. But I think he's like, I did enough. You know, between his neck fusion surgery that he had and his age. Right. And it's, I think he did what he did. You know, he just won the AEW Tag Team Championships, and He's going to face the Young Bucks, which is one of the best tag teams in the world right now. So I think that's what having him in a tag team match is going to be a good idea too. So, but what is your better than that, Dad?
Oh yes, yes, yes. I'm going to go about the Mets. I'm fed up with everybody being so down on this team.
You're always down on them.
I know. You're right.
What do you mean?
That's right. But this year, I am not down on this team. The upgrade to this lineup is really impressive, and people aren't noticing it. I mean, basically, they're getting Vogel back out of the lineup. You're getting Stewart and Vientos in the lineup. And you could argue about the quality, but both of them are going to be a major upgrade right there. You have Alvarez playing a full season, which is a huge upgrade to Nito, you know? And then you have a healthy Marte, who's probably like the, if healthy, the best all-around player on the team. That's a huge upgrade. He's stockpiling arms for the bullpen. So it's going to take a little time to figure out which way to go with that. But he's got a ton of arms for the pen. The starting rotation is not good. But if the bullpen, if they get enough arms for the pen, they might be able to shorten the games enough. And the offense might be able to carry him. And I'm looking at like somewhere between like 88, 89 wins. That's what I'm at.
That would get them a wild card, I think.
Would get them in the wild card. I think they're better than last year's team. And last year's team was terrible. I mean, they had Escobar at third going into the season. You had Nito as the catcher. Vogelback was the DH. You had two 40-year-old pitchers as your two aces. I mean, that team was just blatantly – and Diaz was hurt even before the season started. That team was horrible. Oh. This team's a better team. You're better than that.
There you go. Well,
fans.
So, I want to thank you, Dad, obviously, for...
No, it's always fun.
I want to thank you for filling in this week. I appreciate it. I would love to have you on again. Of course, you know that.
Yeah, anytime.
Something like that. We appreciate it, as always. Enjoy the game. Oh, really quickly, Snug wants to know, what's your favorite snack to eat during the Super Bowl?
Oh, jeez. I like pizza. I'm a pizza person. I like pizza.
Oh, pork.
Is he coming over? Is he gonna? If he brings it over, I'll get some.
No, he likes cupcakes, but he likes cupcakes in weed form.
Ah,
yeah. So
days.
I mean, I'm more of a pulled pork kind of person. So
I do it. We do that.
But enjoy the Super Bowl this weekend. We'll see if the Niners win and everything like that. Thank you so much to the fans for tuning in.
No problem.
Check us out on worldwidesportsradio.com. Check us out on
Feel
Twitter.
Better.
Thanks, Dad. You can check us out on X. Formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, Spotify, Smart Speakers, Podbean, all that and so much more. Check out the Sports Lab out with, of course, Errol Marks, BPD, and former NFL player Sean Smith every Wednesday and Thursday. So they do that. The Wise Guy, the Weekend Crunch on 103.9 FM, the LA News Radio Network, Saturdays at 7 p.m. right after the New York Islanders play. The Herd, the Betting Show, that, and so much more. So, for Nelson Silverberg, for Speedy Petey, for Eric Bowe, for the fans out there as well, again, thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. We'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you then. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. This has been Game On Live on the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.
It's the Worldwide Sports Radio Network.